Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Warp, the Watch and Recap podcast, a side project of Movies Mayhem Soap, and I'm your host, Chris. And last week I said that we would be resuming our recaps of the Big Bang Theory Season 1, but in actuality, this other show came out of nowhere, and we're going to go ahead and cover that because it just seemed like the better option overall. WandaVision really proved to be our bread and butter for the last few weeks, so yeah, we're going to go ahead and stick with that. We're going to be covering Assembled, the making of WandaVision, and from the looks of it, there's going to be one of these episodes at the end of each season of any upcoming MCU projects, which is fine, I guess. It's kind of interesting to like see what's going to happen, and so this is just a recap of what happens in that episode, or not even a recap, more of a review. Just general things that we saw in it that we thought were interesting. Just a short critique on that. So yeah, this is our recap or review, sorry, for Assembled, the making of WandaVision. Stick around for that. Oh yeah, and we're back with our review, I guess, for Assembled, the making of WandaVision, and I'm joined this week by just Mitzi. How's it going?
Hi, Chris. I'm doing good.
Cool. Selena and Franco could not... Well, Franco just opted out completely of being here, and Selena just... She couldn't... she had prior commitments, work stuff. But yeah, I was thinking it wouldn't be like an actual recap. We wouldn't like... break it down scene by scene, but I was just gonna do like a review. I wrote down notes of stuff that I thought were interesting or just random thoughts I had. So does that sound good?
Yeah, I didn't take down notes, but I think it's still fresh in my head.
Okay, good. what would you think of it overall?
No, I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was a little bit boring. I thought it was a little bit boring, even though I do like documentaries. Mm-hmm. But how did you like it, since you're not a documentary kind of guy?
I thought it was fine. It was actually, I didn't even know about it till Isaac, he came in and he was all like, hey, did you watch it? And I said, no, what is that? And he told me what it was. It was just the making of, and he said that it was not really anything worth checking out. He said, don't waste your time. He basically said that it's all of them just saying that, you know, how exciting it was to, that they were all happy to be part of the MCU now, and that was it. And I was just like, well... I don't want to watch Big Bang Theory, so let's see what happens here.
Yeah, this is better than Big Bang Theory. Yeah, that's something that was kind of like irritating me, that everybody was just saying so much positivity. Maybe I'm a negative Nancy, but everyone was acting so humble, and Vision himself was like, oh, I thought I didn't have a job. Evan Peters like, oh, well, I just said yes just because it's Marvel. I don't know. Too much positivity. Can we have a little bit negativity in there?
Well, like, what kind of negativity?
I don't know. I can't even think of something, but maybe that it dragged a little bit. No, it's just a lot of love. Yeah, that little, the making of WandaVision was just a lot of love, and everything's so great, and everybody's so great, and the clothes is fantastic, and the music is fantastic. Everything's fantastic.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess there are... Or there can be documentaries like that about the making of... Well, usually when you're trying to promote your stuff, you don't really say that they had a bad experience, right? But then later on, usually years down the line, like with... I think Apocalypse Now has a pretty famous documentary about how difficult it was to get that movie made. And the Terry Gilliam one of... Lost in La Mancha is the documentary.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that one has realness to it. Yeah, this one just felt like as if everything went so perfect. I guess everybody's really good at their job, but mm-hmm. I would like to see some of the difficulty that they had.
Well, I think also Disney doesn't really want to hire problematic people, I'm guessing. So, and it's kind of like, well, no, but you always hear that too at the theme parks also, that they have a bunch of like the workers aren't as happy as you would think, or they're not as taken care of it as you would hope and stuff. Yeah,
They're
I
sex
mean,
slaves and being paid 10 cents an hour. No,
yeah,
just
stuff
kidding.
like that. There's a dark side, a dark side of Disney. But yeah, I guess I didn't really know what to expect. Well, no, for sure I wanted to definitely see if there was more insight into like the creative aspect of it, like to see what the writers were hoping, like they established pretty well their intent in the first few episodes. You know, they're all like, oh yeah, we wanted to do, you know, a throwback to all these different shows, but then they never really get into where it was
Why?
leading. Yeah,
Yeah.
and I wanted to see more of that. And yeah, I mean, like we talked about with the recaps, it you know, the more emotional part of it was pretty good, but then there was just things about it that didn't really build up to anything, I guess. So I don't know. Overall, I was fine with it, with this thing. It was okay. Didn't feel like a waste, like Isaac said.
Yeah, I didn't feel like a waste, but I don't know. It's just, I thought they were just kind of saying more stuff. I guess I wanted more wise, but there was some stuff that was really interesting. I thought it was kind of cool to see those black and white episodes that we watched with some color in there, how the
Yeah.
walls were blue and stuff. So that was really neat. I also thought it was really neat. Well, at first I was like, wait, is Vision blue? And I was just kind of confused. And then I saw, oh, well, he had to be blue because.
For the to turn him black and white, it showed up better on screen, I think, that way. They said they did screen tests and that was the best way to get him, because it's all just mostly his face is just painted, and then they generate the all the funky shit on the side of his head. They could take his ears off and stuff.
You know, that seems like a really cool job, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Looking so realistic. I've never really seen that. The flying part was kind of cool. I don't know why I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the notes I wrote down, just as the episode went along, was I wrote down that I thought it was interesting that they had a live studio audience for.
Oh, yes.
At least
and then
for
it
the
was
first
cool
two.
That they even did the like vintage seats and whatnot.
Yeah, they did like wooden chairs and stuff so that it felt more period appropriate for the people in the audience. That was pretty neat. I think it was just those two episodes, though, right? That had the audience?
It seems like it, because that was in the way beginning when they're talking about the, what was it, the 50s and the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I thought that was really neat. And it made me think, like, if I was somebody in the audience, would I laugh?
Oh, yeah, true, because they have that part.
So much fake, yeah.
They have that part where he's all like, we're going to record your actual reactions, so go ahead and laugh as loud as you want, and you might hear yourself on
yeah,
the actual episode, and... Yeah, I don't think it would. I don't even think watching it here, I laughed that loud. I think I just chuckled. There was some light chuckles. That's it.
Yeah, I think I had more like a little aw, or just I had some crying in there. So
yeah,
no, maybe they could hear me sobbing.
But for sure, in the earlier episodes, I liked that sense of humor a lot more than the humor in the later episodes, like the Malcolm in the Middle and the Office episodes. Those that didn't work for me.
Oh, did you see did you catch that the Malcolm in the Middle song had that Kathleen girl from
Bikini Kill
called? Yeah, Bikini Kill. I thought that was kind of interesting and cool.
It's pretty neat. I thought that was cool.
Terrible song though, but
yeah, I still didn't like it. But yeah, I thought that was neat that the same couple that wrote whatever song Selena looked up, I don't know, that they wrote all the songs, basically. I forgot which one was the first one she looked up, but yeah, the same couple did all the songs. I thought that was pretty neat.
I thought it was like a brother and sister, but know that couple now is disgusting.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting because they talked about how they used the same note in each song, and I kind of didn't catch that, but it's interesting to know that it's there.
Yeah, that was cool, and to see him so into it.
Yeah, I guess that would be pretty exciting to get to experiment in different genres and different decades of music. That's pretty neat. I thought Paul Bettany's story about how Jon Favreau first pitched him the role of Jarvis was pretty fun story, where he says that he needs someone that's very boring and personalityless,
yeah.
So he offered it to him. I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I thought it was pretty neat that they showed that Wanda has a, or Elizabeth Olsen had a choreographer that showed her like how to do all the funky.
Oh yeah, I was like, oh, that's kind of. What kind of training does that lady have? Because I just saw her do a little hyah here and a hyah there, and I thought, well, I can do that too. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I always just kind of just figured that, I don't know, someone was probably just like, just wave your hands all weird, and that she was doing something. But no, she had a choreographer, and so someone was actually making up this stuff. And yeah, I wonder what it was based on. Maybe some sort of martial arts or something? I don't know.
Yeah, as soon as I thought that, I was like, what kind of training does that lady have?
But it was pretty neat. I never would have considered that they had that. Going on there. This was a random thought I had, that there is an 18-year age difference between Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, and yet it doesn't seem gross.
Well, he did seem a lot older when they were interviewing him, when they're in their normal clothes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it's that guy, it's his voice, it's his accent. Tori passed, I was watching it in the living room, and Tori passed me before she left to the gym. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, he's a cutie. He speaks so proper. That's probably
it. He's so proper, and that's why he doesn't seem like a creep, I guess. No, but usually it is kind of unsettling to see a younger woman with an older man like that. But for some reason here it isn't. Maybe because the character is not an older man. He's just a robot. I don't know. But anyways, that was a random thought I had. We don't have to spend too much time on that. I thought it was interesting that the director, Matt Shankman, was saying that he grew up on TV sets, on sitcom sets. I guess he was an actor first. So he kind of knew was familiar with the way the filming went. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
I didn't catch that. Was it the same guy that was saying he showed a few photos of him in costumes as a kid?
I believe so, yeah.
The Captain America costume and stuff like that.
I think so. I can't remember which costumes for sure, but I do think they had some stuff like that, yeah. So he was saying that that's why he felt like he was a good fit for it, because he really liked superheroes and he grew up in sitcoms, sort of, in a sense.
I thought it was kind of neat that she was Elizabeth Olsen. Is that her name again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
If you call her Wanda, I'll also know who you're talking about.
Oh. I thought it was neat that she said she grew up looking at stuff like that. Like, I'm sure she wasn't just at home or doing homework. She was watching her sisters do that kind of work. So I wonder if that helped her out a lot.
Because that's what even what she says. Because I even wrote that down too, that she grew up on the set of Full House. And I was just like, yeah, that makes total sense. I never considered that either. But yeah, she was saying that it was helpful to her to be familiar with the way it all worked, that it was, so it wasn't too strange to go from like movies to that. So
yeah, it's so funny to go back into that. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I think is really great is that we don't really know her for being the Olsen sister,
right?
But for being Wanda, she's really cool.
I just wrote down that Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen seem to have a good, not chemistry. Well, yeah, I wrote chemistry, but they seem to enjoy each other's company when they're doing the interviews, little interviews. They seem like they get along really well, which I thought was nice. Which actually, I don't know if we talked about that at all at any point in the podcast, but yeah, their characters also have a lot of chemistry. Like it doesn't seem forced also. So I just kind of wanted to point that out, that that's probably why their dynamic works so well, you know, because they get along.
That was a great love story. I like how she had mentioned throughout where they were talking about Age of Ultron and all that whatnot. She was saying how they were kind of throwing little Easter eggs and she would have to give them a glance and stuff, like they had to slowly build up to it. But
yeah, that was kind of cool. Her evolving the character. I also wrote down, just as a random thought, it must have been really fun to dress up old-timey for, like, all the at least the first few episodes. That'd be kind of nice, right, to be able to do that?
That part does seem really cool, but did you catch the part where Paul's talking about how uncomfortable his butt is?
Yes.
What do they put on there? What did he have?
That was my next note. I just wrote that he's wearing a fake butt and that it's probably because the pants were not flattering. So they kind of just did it so it didn't look weird. And so they were just like, well, we got to fill these babies out.
Yeah, who's going to be looking at his ass when they show that part? Yeah. And she said that she was really stiff and she couldn't move. That kind of made sense. But when he had mentioned his butt, I was like, what the heck's going on in there?
No, yeah, I don't think it had to do with the way the fashion of the day. I think it was just because...
Are you saying that he had no ass? It was probably just like, oh.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, that was my first assumption. But it wouldn't make sense that he wouldn't because he has to stay reasonably in shape, right? For this role. He's a superhero.
I don't know.
But he has, as far as I'm concerned, that's Britain's ass right there, or England's ass. I don't know which nationality he is. I'm gonna say English, right? That's England. Yeah, England's ass. Yeah, that was super weird. I don't know what that was about. And then, what are you doing? Filters?
I was trying to turn blue.
Oh, I don't think it's going to do it.
Okay, I'll just be this one.
Okay. And then I wrote down that it's pretty cool that they were using on-set special effects or practical visual effects and using wires and trick cuts and stuff. I also wrote down that Kitty got to do a body scan for the visual effects work. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, the way she described it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. What did she need to do a body scan for what scene?
I don't know. I don't think anything in the first two episodes. Maybe something in the last episode where that's they're all in town.
He famously says, just kill us. Or
yeah, famously. Yeah, I don't know what they would have used it for, but I guess they just do it.
When they show that, it was so cute. Her personality is very sweet.
Yeah, she's just standing there with her arms open. Open to her sides and stuff. I guess that's just a common practice on like special effects heavy stuff in case they have to do any touch-ups. I really like the parts where Catherine Hahn and Tiana Paris were talking about getting offers to be in the MCU. I just thought like that's pretty exciting. I thought, like, you know, to be part of this. To not even to just be in one of the movies, but to get to be a costumed character, like a hero or villain. That's exciting.
Agnes and who else? Monica?
And Monica, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, Monica's personality was great. She was so full of life, mm-hmm. Really funny.
She seemed really nice, yeah. I guess I'm probably a little biased on that because I would love the chance to be like in the MCU. And to get to wear a costume and get a body scan also and all this stuff. Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat. And Randall Park also was talking about how when he got Ant-Man, he thought it was just a one-off, that they were just going to use him in that one movie and then that was it. And so he had no idea that they would get bring him back at all. But that kind of made me wonder also if maybe when they created Ant-Man, when they created that character, if they knew he would come back at some point. But I mean, I guess that's why you hire a recognizable actor, right?
I'll tell you, I think this is why this whole entire making of WandaVision, it was just everybody being humble. Like, I didn't think I was gonna come back, or I didn't think I was gonna get a call back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, calm down.
Also wrote down that the actors talk about getting to be over the top. And how rare it is, because a lot of people, even when they make comedies now, they don't really do it as, you know, big as they did back in the 60s and 70s, especially on sitcoms. And so I thought that must be pretty fun, because that is part of their training sometimes, and they have to learn, like, different comedic styles. Must be kind of neat to get to have a range, some kind of range. I also wrote down that that I didn't notice that the set for the house was one basic layout that had to be updated with each decade. I never noticed it, that there was basically the same layout for the living room. I know the stairway was by the door, and I think that's the only thing I really noticed. But yeah, I guess the whole town also had to be redesigned, for different periods too. depending on how far they went.
Well, I did notice the house, but not the town. I didn't give that one some thought.
Yeah. Because even when they cut to, like, modern-day Westview, it doesn't look too renovated. Kind of looks like there's still some old-fashioned buildings and stuff. But mostly the house was the one that I was just like, wow, I never really paid attention to the way it looked. I also wrote down that there's... Oh, yeah, yeah. So when they're... We were talking about the cast earlier and how they were going through them. That there was absolutely no reference to Evan Peters being in the X-Men movies. Like, they talk about him and how fun it was to get him to be... Or Elizabeth Olsen is all like, yeah, he comes in and he plays Pietro. And, yeah, like, nobody talks about that he played the same character in the different movies. And that's why they cast him. They kind of just made it seem like it was just a choice that they made because he is a nice guy or something. I don't know.
Exactly. They didn't bring up anything with him, mm-hmm. but maybe they weren't supposed to. Maybe they purposely told him not to. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that was maybe some sort of shade that they don't even mention that role at all. I don't know. I would have really liked for them to go into that a little bit more and talk about his character and why they went the way they did with it. You know, especially since it seemed like spoilers were pretty much on the table, right? Like, doesn't seem like there was a lot. Yeah, because they were...
Anything. They just said that he was a crazy fun uncle.
Yeah. That was it. Like, they really just gloss over it. I was really disappointed by that. Another thing I thought was interesting was that they say that the some of the episodes are influenced by Twilight Zone tropes. I never would have caught that. I can't think of any specific ones. I know the beekeeper one was one that they showed when they're talking about that. Or the dinner scene with the hearts. Just kind of where they have dark tonal shifts in the sitcom vibe universe, whatever. So remember last time I was talking about, this is just a random thought, last time I was talking about how I liked the comic accurate version of the costume better than the one that they had at the end of the finale.
Yes, definitely. Yes. You like the red more.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I kind of got to compare them a little bit, and I saw that the comic accurate one had a bigger coronet thing. I thought that was pretty cool. It is brighter, and she has a cape also. So I think I liked the cape and the brightness and the bigger. So maybe if they gave her a bigger coronet, maybe that would at least do that. They made it very small and subtle, and I don't know. I don't think I like that.
Yeah, I do agree with the pop of color. It could have been a stronger red. The other one almost seems maroon. It's
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really dark red.
Hey, now thinking about it, now that you brought up the kids for a bit.
Uh-oh.
Did they come out at all in this?
No. They didn't.
Yeah,
I was really worried that there was going to be a moment where they interviewed them, and I was like, ugh, I'm going to punch my TV right now.
The middle finger. They didn't come out at all. What the hell? They're such a big part.
Yeah, I guess they should have. In theory, it would have made sense. It would have made sense if they did, but not that I wanted them to. You know. I also wrote that. Oh yeah. So during the filming of a scene in the finale where all the extras all the townspeople are crowding around Wanda. There was a quick part where they show them filming it, and one of the extras is wearing a mask, a COVID mask. And So something else I read was that COVID did kind of affect the filming of the finale. And so that's why they kind of had to cut a lot of stuff out and work around different things. And maybe that's why the finale kind of felt a little jumbled. Sort of rushed. It was very rushed. Because I also read that there was supposed to be a scene where Monica and the kids and I think Ralph or Pietro, that they go into Agatha's basement and they're going to steal the book, and they have to fight the bunny. It turns into a demon and they fight it.
What the hell? Where did you read that from? You probably dreamt that.
No, it's... It's something it's out there. I forgot where I heard it. But it's out there. Look it up. Demon Bunny in WandaVision. But yeah, I'm still very disappointed that Monica and Ralph didn't have a fight scene, because even though he wasn't the real guy, he still had super speed, you know? He still had powers, basically, and he was evil, in a sense. You know, he was brainwashed. Yeah,
that's crazy, because they teased it when she wants to go into the basement, and he goes, no, no, or naughty, naughty, or I don't know what the hell he says.
Yeah, he basically busts her. And, yeah, it seemed like there was going to be a big confrontation, and, like, to me, that's the bigger disappointment than having him be just some random dude. Because I think I was kind of suspecting that he was probably just a random dude. But, yeah, like, he has superpowers. Why was it so easy for her to defeat him? Why couldn't she just have done it before? I don't know. I was really, really bummed out by that.
And why did we never see the necklace? Or was it there all along?
Yeah, man, I'm sure if you go through the older episodes, you would probably see the necklace. Maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, when he knocks on the door, I wonder. Because we would get a clear vision
of
it.
Yeah, I didn't really consider it. I don't know. I don't know if I'll really go back and check. I wrote down that there's a lot of wire work and green screens for the finale. Oh, yeah, you were talking about the flying and stuff. That looked, yeah, like, that looked really cool also. It looks, especially with Agatha, with all her shawls and stuff flowing, it looked pretty tough to... It seemed like that would have been a big hassle.
Yeah, that's what Elizabeth Olsen was saying, that it was a lot of work for her. But I think Agatha was... She's pretty up there. She was really impressive. I really liked her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think she did great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that she gets to be kind of, like I was saying earlier, over the top and just... yeah, villains get to do these big dramatic speeches and stuff. So I wrote down that even the circus was fake. The tents were fake and stuff. It was all CG. Like, it's the visual effects are really impressive, because so much in these movies is not even real and you don't even know it.
Yeah, that's what I thought was the most interesting part. That was my favorite part towards the end, where those, the two girls are talking about the work they did, and mm-hmm. that was cool. Yeah, it was the circus, Vision, and what else? Oh, just Wanda when
they spent powers. Yeah, and they spent some time talking about the design of the hex.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool too. Yeah, they didn't talk about when they de-aged Catherine Hahn though. Pretty sure they did. And then things are pretty much wrapping up. There's this big epic fanfare as, like, Elizabeth Olsen is talking about, you know, how great of an experience it was and how nothing bad at all happened on the set. And, yeah, it actually made me very nostalgic. I was just like, maybe I will watch this again. But then I was like, nah, I don't think I will. But, yeah, it's a good ending, I thought.
No, overall, I think the show was great. I don't remember what score did you give it? What was it?
I gave four it... 4 out of 5? My initial one was... I think I gave it a 4 out of 5 initially. And then gradually I just lowered it down to, I think, a 3.5. So if you go back and look at it, I think it's at 3.5 now. So that's a 70%. That's a C.
I think I was being too harsh with it. But no, I think it was great. Especially... Well, who had that idea, you know? Just
yeah, no, it's an
interesting something never idea. Been done before, something super risky. And,
mm-hmm. It's very unique. And then unique.
Just add on top of it COVID, so.
Yeah. I mean, overall, it's worth watching. Sure, why not? Don't, you know, everyone's saying, you know, if you got caught up in all the fan theories and stuff, that you're less likely to enjoy it. But even then, when the theories didn't really pan out for me, that was not really a big part of why I didn't like it. It was just kind of mostly there was no big fight with Pietro. I was looking forward to that. The whole Hayward thing kind of just seemed poorly thought out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even that there was a big reveal on his part. It was just that I didn't understand what they were doing with him. It seemed like they were trying to build them. It kind of just seemed like they fumbled whatever they were trying to do with them. In a lot of ways, I'm sure that they were just trying to mislead the audience, but they just did it in a very bad way, I thought.
I agree. Yeah, I was disappointed with him and Monica's character, honestly. So they're hyping her up, and then, well, that's all that happened with her.
Well, she'll get to do. It's kind of like Captain America holding the hammer, you know? I think they're waiting for her big heroic moment at just the right time. So they didn't want to do it in the show, probably, but she's probably going to have a really awesome moment in one of the next movies.
There you go, overhyping it. No, you're right.
But yeah, I think also a big part of this was, because we broke it down a lot, or at least I did. I would write down every little thing because I thought, it's kind of a mystery. We have to watch it unravel. And so I wanted to make sure we paid attention to all the little details for all the little clues. And with Falcon and Winter Soldier next week, it's more of an action thing. I think it's going to be almost an hour for each episode. So I definitely don't want to like pay too much attention on all the details and watch it. Go through it so carefully.
Yeah, I think that one will be a lot more action-packed.
Yeah.
You know, I just had a thought and I lost it. Oh, yeah. No, it's back. The making of WandaVision, I'm surprised maybe they did and I missed it, but they didn't go over at all over the commercials, right?
No, yeah, they didn't. They didn't say what they meant or.
Especially that whole last one. They were, I don't know, those were really thought out and it's kind of strange that they didn't bring those up at all.
Yeah. It was, yeah, because they kind of should have even like explained what they meant, and I think the final verdict was that they were just kind of part of Wanda's subconscious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to like remind her of her past and of what her current emotional state, except for the one about the little claymation kid, the yogurt commercial. I still kind of
you think they would go over that one because it was unexpected, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. That one still doesn't seem to have a satisfying answer about what that commercial was about. I didn't like that episode anyways. But I'm excited for next week for the Falcon and Winter Soldier. I think it's gonna be pretty good, pretty fun, but I'm overhyping it. I'm looking forward to Baron Zemo. He's supposed to be a big time villain in the comic books. They used him in Civil War, or introduced him in Civil War a little bit, but he didn't really do too much. I mean, he triggers the events of that movie, but in terms of him being a villain, he kind of didn't really do a whole lot. And so I'm excited to see if they beef him up his character a little bit.
Don't put your expectations
too high. Oh man, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, this time we have to, you know, and I was going to cancel my Disney Plus, but now that we have that one coming up, I'm like, I guess not.
Oh, damn, I'm sorry. I'll give you $8 and I'll write it off somehow as, I don't even know. Is that how much Disney Plus costs? $8?
I think it's $6.
Oh, good. Even better. I'll give you $6 a month and I'll just say it's a business expense. But yeah. So yeah, ultimately, probably didn't have to watch this episode. Nothing too interesting happening here.
Yeah, I think, it's just, I don't know if people loved WandaVision so much at work. At first no one was talking about it, but towards the end. So I guess any extra stuff is cool to watch.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. I guess mostly the visual effects stuff is worth checking out. That's of course the stuff they end on, so if you're gonna watch the whole thing, it gets better at the end, I guess.
Yeah, what was your favorite part on this making of WandaVision?
I want to say definitely. Well, I liked parts where they kind of talk to the cast a little bit, but mostly seeing all the visual effects work and you know, comparing the original shot to how it looked on the show. I was really impressed. It is kind of, it's just very strange to know that in any given scene, like, so much can be fake.
Yeah, what's so cool is thinking how silly they look acting. Well, that's what I was thinking of when Elizabeth Olsen is telling people that they could leave the town after she puts them in that spell, and they show that part with the no effects or anything, and I just thought it looked so hilarious because she just looked like an average woman just going crazy.
Yeah. That's always tough, I think, for actors, especially when it's something, when it's a new movie, like a new property. Like in these movies, it's already kind of established, you know, what their world is. And,
Elizabeth Olsen also brought up that it brought back her theater school, that she always thought, oh, I'm never going to be using whatever I'm learning from theater school, and she was using it with the
comedy.
Props and,
yeah.
Oh, and then when they were shouting at each other, when Agnes is up, or during their fight scene when it's about to start, when she's up there and Wanda's in the bottom, and when they're yelling, I just thought, it was just kind of cool to see it.
Yeah.
Before everything's added on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty neat. Other than that, nothing important, really. I mean, no, it was all important because all this came together to build this show, and a lot of people did a lot of hard work, maybe except for the writers, but, you know. Pretty impressive stuff overall. So, yeah, if you're interested in it, check it out. If you're not, then you can skip it. You're probably not going to miss a whole lot. That's my advice to the listeners.
I say you can skip it.
Skip it, yeah. That was Isaac's advice, too. Franco certainly skipped it. I don't know if Selena watched it, but, you know, I guess we'll find out next time. Oh, I wonder if anyone contacted Selena to ask what name she said at the end of the last week's show.
We have to ask her.
Yeah, I'll text her right now. Because no one certainly asked me, so that means nobody I know is listening to this show.
Well, maybe they didn't make it to the end yet.
Maybe you're right. I'll give them another week. Oh, no, this is uploading tomorrow, so now they have to listen to this episode.
You know, I did think this making of Wanda was a little more interesting than I thought it would be.
Okay, cool.
I'll give it that.
Yeah, I definitely did, and I guess with Isaac, you know, kind of underselling it, it gave me low expectations. I kind of thought it was gonna be really really boring, but no, it was fine. I didn't, you know, it was a pretty brisk hour. I didn't regret watching it, but I do like the Marvel movies a lot, so I think getting just like little snippets of what goes into making all the detail for sure is definitely appreciated. It's a fun time. So, anything you want to say before we go?
Not that I could add on.
All right. Any shout outs? Franco? Selena?
Comen caca.
Comen caca. Both of you. Selena better quit your job. And Franco also better quit your job.
Yeah, Franco's enjoying spring break.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, so.
Very cool. And then next week on Warp, we're doing Falcon and Winter Soldier. And then on Movies Mayhem Soap, we're doing the Justice League review.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. Well, not the movie, but the review. Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of grievances to air. And that's why Isaac's not going to do it. He says he doesn't want to just listen to us bash the movie for however long.
So yeah, we need to put more love out there.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, we need someone to play devil's advocate in a sense, you know, to show us the pros of the movie, you know, the good points, but he refuses to do it because he already knows it's gonna be bad, pretty much. I guess he already knows that there's gonna be so much hate for it that he doesn't want to talk about
it. Well, it's funny because before we end, Eddie had told me, like, you guys are too negative, like, let me see you make a better show or movie.
Oh, damn.
He said specifically, let me see you and Chris make a better TV show.
Yeah, let's. We can do it. I can do it. Yeah. I just need the backing of Disney and several millions of dollars and an all-star cast. I can do it. I can make a better one. Or maybe not. I don't know. Damn, Eddie's really putting me to task here. I'll come up with something.
Yeah, he had told me that because I told him, hey, why don't you listen to our WandaVision? But he said that we're too negative.
Oh. Really? Because I think we weren't even that negative until like the last three episodes, maybe.
I don't know how to give him a lesson, but yeah, he said, let me see you guys make a better movie.
So he really liked the show then, or what?
Yeah, he loved it.
Oh, great. Well, I'll try to make that show, Eddie, and I'll let you know how that goes.
Years from now. Okie dokie.
All right, Mitzi, thank you for joining me and for watching this episode, even though you didn't have to.
Of course.
All right.
Good night.
Bye, good night.
Thanks for listening.